Good morning. Would you join me in the prayer for illumination as printed in your bulletin or on the board? Thank you, loving God, for bringing us to this time of worship. Refresh us and heal us again. Remind us of the many ways in which you have blessed our lives with your abundant love and your presence. Guide our hearts and our spirits that we may hear your words and our souls may be stirred into active service to your people. In the name of the Good Shepherd who leads us to life, we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in deed and truth. And by this we will know that we from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive him from whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
While we're talking about the kindness, the Be Kind campaign, David came across online a group. He does 3D printing. We have a 3D printer in our house. And he came across a group called Random Acts of 3D Printing Kindness. And so you print something, a little toy or something that you think would bring joy to someone, and you hide it, almost like the rocks when people were painting rocks. So he printed a bunch of stuff for the youth group to walk downtown and hide, so that kids or young at heart folks may find them and it would bring joy. So the youth group and the youth group leaders will be doing that today. I'm excited to see all the ways that kindness is starting to take root and grow in exciting ways. So if you think of anything, please let me know different things we can do as part of our Be Kind campaign. The t-shirts are on sale now. I emailed out a link to the Be Kind t-shirts that say Be Kind, Five Points Parish. It's a great conversation starter about this movement that we really hope begins to spread, this movement of kindness. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a poem. It read, "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach. When feeling out of sight for the ends of being an ideal grace, I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love thee with the passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all of my life. And if God so choose, I shall love thee better after death." How do I love thee was the question posed by the poet. Our scripture today begins with some of the same words, but with a different twist. Browning asked, "How do I love thee?" 1 John 3 says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us." A good poet waxes on about love. "How do I love thee? Let me count the ways." Oh, my sermon just closed. That was unfortunate. Oh my goodness. What's happening? Apparently the internet doesn't love me. Okay, let's try this again. All right, now we're back in business. Technology's great, isn't it? Okay, here we go. A good poet waxes on about love. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Let me tell you all about my love. I love you to meet all of your needs, day or night. I love you more than anything, more than I thought possible. Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes beautiful words about what it means to express your love to one another. Let me count the ways in which I love you. But Scripture says, we know love not by words, but by action, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus lived out the love that Elizabeth Barrett Browning writes about. Jesus' death for us shows us that Christ was willing to cross any boundary, that there was nothing that could separate us from his love. Jesus proved to us that there was nothing that he wouldn't do for us, up to and including his own death. Jesus showed that true love isn't simply in the beauty of a poem or a poetic word, but it is in the action of a Savior. And so we know that what Scripture says, we know love by this. By these actions, we know we are loved, that Jesus laid down his life for us. Love is not simply a set of beautiful words. Love is an action. We know God's love by the fact that God sent God's Son into creation in the person of Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, yet took on sin for us, that we may live into a perfect state that we do not deserve and we cannot earn. Yet it is ours. Salvation is ours. Reconciliation is ours. Redemption is ours because of the great wonder-working love of Jesus. And these acts of radical love show us the very nature of God, as God is love in itself. The Scriptures, though, move right on into an action challenge for us. We're not even out of the first verse of this reading, and we've already received our marching orders, our discipleship orders. The Scripture reads, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought lay our lives down for one another. And I thought, whew, that escalated quickly. Just when we were feeling good about God's love for us, about this Easter resurrection love that we have been celebrating, here comes the word of God calling us into uncomfortable territory, asking us to love like Jesus. It would be easy for us to wash our hands of this command. It would be easy for us to recognize there's no way I can love like Jesus. There's no way I can act like Jesus, truly act like Jesus. There's no way we can reach this goal. See, but here's the thing. Scripture doesn't care about our excuses. God's word isn't interested in what we cannot do. God's word is interested in us finding out what we can do. And so the challenge is for us to be like Jesus, us to live like Jesus. In 1991, you remember where you were in 1991? I don't want to hear from you people that were not born yet. I was in high school. I was a sophomore. In 1991, Gatorade launched an advertising campaign around Michael Jordan. The lyrics to the jingle said, "Sometimes I dream that he is me. You've got to see that's how I dream to be." These words have been stuck in my head since I wrote this sermon. Just so I'm sure that they get stuck in your head too, I thought maybe we could watch the commercial together.
Now here's me. Got to see, that's how I dream to be.
I dream I move.
I move.
I dream I grew. Like Mike. If I could be like Mike.
Be like Mike. Drink Gatorade. Drinking Gatorade is probably going to be the closest that most of those people and most of us will ever get to being like Mike. I grew up watching 90s basketball. Even I, who do not have an ounce of athletic ability in my entire body, thought it would be cool to be like Mike. Everyone I knew wanted to be like Michael Jordan. We all wanted to be like Mike. But here's the thing. We all wanted to be like Mike. Nobody wanted to live like Mike. We wanted to roll up onto the court. We wanted to have our Bulls uniform and our Gatorade and our Nikes. We wanted the results. We wanted the championship rings. Would have been nice to have the paycheck. But we didn't consider the lifestyle that accompanies that kind of success. We just wanted to be like Mike. And you might be sitting here, and basketball might not be your thing. I don't want to be like Mike. I don't even, who cares? Who wants to be like Mike? But my guess is that you wanted at some time in your life to be like somebody. Maybe it's a musician. Maybe it's an actor. Maybe an author. Maybe a favorite teacher. Maybe a parent. We all have aspirations. We all have role models. We all, at some point, want to be like somebody. And oftentimes, our aspirations are big. Sometimes we want to be like Mike. And maybe, dare we say, I want to be like Jesus. I hope we all say that. Do we, though, consider what it means to be like these people that we aspire to be like? Do we truly consider what it means to be like them, to live like them, to prepare like them, to make decisions like them, to talk like them, to hurt like them? Do we consider all of it? The story behind the headline, the person, the commercial. Michael Jordan is quoted as saying that everything he did for as long as he could remember, every decision he made, had been laser focused on playing professional basketball. And then as he was drafted, playing the greatest game he was able to play. Even when it seemed that he had arrived, he continued to do the work. Jordan's high school and college coaches will tell you that Michael was the first one on the court in the morning, the first one in the weight room. He was the last one off the court each and every day. They had to pry him out of the gym. As a professional, Michael continued to have a rigorous workout schedule, beginning with a run or a strengthening conditioning activity at 5 in the morning. He had 4 other professional basketball players that came and ate at his house. They called it the Breakfast Club. And they worked out together, and then they ate breakfast, and then they had meetings. And then they went back to the gym at lunchtime for strength training. And then he would conclude his day playing 3 or 4 hours of basketball. I would be dead. Amen? If I lived like Mike. But single-mindedness. He had a defined set goal, and he paired it with an all-or-nothing attitude. Hours of practice every day. Brutal strengthening. He had coaches that helped him get his mindset right. He followed a very strict diet and schedule. That is how you can be like Mike. Turns out it's more than Gatorade. Who knew? See, the thing that bothers my spirit is how often we treat our personal discipleship as if we're trying to live into Gatorade's campaign of being like Mike. How often do we want the end goal of salvation? We want a close relationship with God, but we'd really like it to just be as simple as drinking a Gatorade. We want the results, but we're not entirely interested in the process to get there. How often do we say, I want to live like Jesus, but then don't put any action to our words? How many times do we say, oh, Lord, I love thee, let me count the ways? But Scripture says, this is how we know love. How often do we say, I want to live like Jesus, and don't put feet to our faith, don't put commitment to our promise? We say we want to live like Jesus, and then we read this word that says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for another. And we say, well, is there a love light program that maybe I could explore? I don't know about the whole laying down my life for other people. See, the problem, friends, Scripture says that they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are disciples by our love. John 13, 35 says, to be a Christian, to be a disciple of Christ, we must forgive and show mercy to everyone and love them as if they have never done anything wrong. Ouch. Jesus says, by this people will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. They'll know how much we love God by how much we love God's people. The way we love others demonstrates whose we are. So if you put all of this together, these lofty ideas of love, we know what love looks like because of Jesus. Because Jesus laid down his life out of his great love for humanity, out of his great love for you and for me, for all of us, for those people, you know, those people. Yeah, them too. Whoever those people are in your mind. Jesus died for Democrats. Jesus died for Republicans.
Really?
Jesus died for whoever the other person is, the person on the other side of the aisle, the person on the other side of the argument, the person on the other side of our judgment, the person on the other, whoever they are, the person who drives you crazy, who just makes you so mad that you could just, right? Jesus loves them too. And you say, well, surely, Lord. Not them. Yep, them. We know what love looks like because Jesus laid his life down for them, and we are called to love others as we have been loved. And we have been loved good. Really, really good. And John 13 says, we are called to love and forgive and show mercy. And Scripture raises the stakes on us because Jesus himself said, by this, all people will know you're my disciples. They're not going to know you're my disciples by how many scriptures you memorize. They're not going to know you're my disciples by how many hours you spend in prayer. They're not going to know you're my disciples by which church you belong to. They're going to know you're my disciples by how well you love people. When they see our love, our radical, forgiving, grace-filled, mercy-giving love, then they'll know we are disciples of Christ. Yet many of us believe that walking into this building makes us a disciple. Many of us believe that worshiping by this 1 hour a week, this 1 hour that we so sacrificially carve out of our schedule, out of the hundreds of hours that we have, where we find this one for God, that makes us a disciple. Many of us believe that remembering when we meet Jesus at the table at communion by eating the bread and drinking the cup makes us a disciple. Gatorade wanted you to believe that drinking Gatorade made you be like Mike. We want to believe that drinking of the cup makes us like Jesus. But Jesus said, they'll know you are mine by your love. Coming here and worshiping and meeting Christ in this place helps us connect to God, reminds us of the love we have been lavished upon with. But only by living the life of a disciple makes us love like God. Only by having the kind of focus and attitude that Michael Jordan poured into the preparation for his career, only by that kind of attitude and focus could he become a six-time NBA champion. We have to adopt that all-or-nothing attitude. We have to take an all-in approach to personal discipleship if we want to be like Jesus and love like Jesus. If we want to live into the words of this scripture from 1 John, the word that tells us, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action, we have to go all in. So how do we do that? Well, Gatorade preached a pretty good mission statement. Be like Mike. So be like Jesus. We have to go all in for God. Our scripture today tells us we have to abide in God. We have to live into these words. The end of our reading today said we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments and abide in him, he abides in them. Michael Jordan ate, drank, and slept basketball. He was going to play basketball. That was his dream, his goal, his aspiration. He woke up thinking about basketball. He fell asleep thinking about basketball. And every moment in between, he was in preparation to play basketball. That's how you can be like Mike. So how can we be like Jesus? Abide in Jesus. When your eyes open in the morning, gratitude should flood your body that God granted you another day in this life. And as you feel the breath enter your lungs, you should recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit of God within you, and you should breathe all of that in gratitude and breathe out anything else. And then you should say, thank you, Lord, for another day. What are your plans for me today? What kind of holy mischief are we going to stir up? And then each moment of your day should be drenched, absolutely drenched, in love. And I know it's hard because I've met us. We are not easy to love. We can test the patience of a saint. Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church says, everyone has EGR people in their lives. EGR people. Extra grace required. You have these people? There are some people that just need extra grace. And we have to work at it. Rick also said, if you look at your circle of friends and you don't know who the EGR person is, it might be you. It might be, you might be the extra grace required person. And so as a sidebar, Christians, we often talk about offering, well, we have to offer grace to them. We have to offer grace that we have been given. We have to show forgiveness to them. Well, I'm going to say, grace will allow us to love them in spite of their stuff. But I'm going to say this, Christians, figure your stuff out. Figure your stuff out. Don't act in the world like, well, they just need to show me extra grace. No. Figure your stuff out so you're not draining the grace out of people. Don't be an extra grace required person, right? Because there is nothing worse than having to pour grace onto a person who knows the love of God and is just sucking the grace out of you. Don't be a grace sucker, please. Jesus calls us to do that. Jesus calls us to figure our stuff out and stop being cranky Christians. Stop, just stop it. Stop being cranky Christians. They'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we are Christians by how well we love each other. If we are being cranky Christians and sucking the grace out of each other, who's going to know? Nobody's going to know. They're not going to know. Friends, the bottom line is this. The gospel calls us to love others as we have been loved, and we have been loved really, really good. We couldn't even count the ways we have been loved. Jesus said, they will know you're my people by how you love them. And so we have to do the work. We have to do our own work and work out our own stuff so that we know that we're worthy and we know that we're good and we know that we're loved. And then we have to practice and dream of love and get imaginative with how we can love the world in such a radical way that it points back to Jesus, the author of love, the embodiment of love, grace with skin on. That's who he was. And he said, they'll know you're mine. They'll know by how you love. Amen.